You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
There's a battle going on in this country, and it's a spiritual battle. It's not a, you know, we think it's just political, but politics involves morality and spirituality and all those things. You can't separate that because, you know, people say, well, you know, you can't legislate morality. Well, most all of our laws have something to do with a moral issue. Thou shalt not kill is a moral issue. It's wrong to kill. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not steal. Are you with me? That's a moral issue. It's morally wrong to steal. So laws do have something to do with morality. In fact, most of them have something to do with morality, whether it's right for you to take this man's property or not, whether it's right for you to build on this man's property or not. I mean, you get down to laws that come down to moral issues, and without a knowledge of God, we don't know what's right and what's wrong. But thank God, we're Christians, we're believers. Amen? And maybe the world's all messed up, and you know, and the Bible does say the world will get darker, but praise God, I'm going to serve God. I'm just determined more and more I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to stand up for what's right. I'm going to be counted. I'm going to be heard. Hallelujah. I'm going to say Merry Christmas. What is that? It's Christmas. Come on, what else is it? It's a holiday. Holy day. Holiday. You know, holiday came from holy day. That's what the whole point of Christmas is, to celebrate the birth of Christ. Now, I don't believe he was born on the 25th of December. I don't think anybody does. But the point is, we do set aside a time to celebrate the fact that God visited us, that Jesus came, hallelujah, Emmanuel, God with us, and split time in half, for the most part, as far as we know. We're living in the year of our Lord, Anno Dominion, you know, A.D. And so no one's ever done that. He brought us salvation, the greatest Christmas gift that's ever been. Come on. You and I, whether you ever get one under your tree or not, you got the greatest gift that has ever been. Don't let your white Christmas turn blue. Come on. Don't go into it with unreal expectations. Let's don't forget what this is about. We'll give our gifts and we'll get together and we'll have, you know, Christmas ham or turkey or tamales or whatever else you eat at Christmas. I think we're having tamales this year. I think that's right. Christmas tamales. Whatever we do and all the fun we have and all the gathering we get and all the gifts we give. And no, this is about Jesus, and we don't ever need to forget that. You and I have a Savior. That's what Christmas means to me. It means I've been saved from my sins. Hallelujah. Woo! I got a Savior. That's the gift. That's the greatest gift that's ever been. So, you know, if you go into Christmas with unreal expectations, and it's sad, but, you know, depression is at a high at Christmas time, and it's just terrible. A time that we should celebrate, a time that we should be rejoicing, but it's because we've lost our focus. It's because we've lost the true meaning. The spirit of Christmas is not kids. I love kids. Goodness, don't tell me I don't love kids. We had a bunch of them, okay? I've got a bunch of grandkids. I love being around the children. But the true meaning of Christmas is Jesus and God's love for mankind in sending Jesus to die for our sins. Hallelujah. See, it was all prophesied. It wasn't, you know, often get bulletins in churches, you know, telling you what's coming up and what's going to happen in the service. Our bulletins just, we don't ever know what's going to happen in our services because our bulletins don't have that in there. But they'll have birthdays and talk about upcoming events. But as far as the order of the service, it's really not in the bulletin because we kind of flow a little different. But, you know, when you get bulletins, it tells you what's coming up, and you can get a bulletin when you go into a church, generally most churches, and find out in more traditional churches the songs they're going to sing, the message that's going to be preached, and so on and so forth. And so you have a little pre-announcement, I guess you'd say, or maybe in a forewarning. But in any case, Jesus came like that. When you think about Jesus, he didn't come unannounced. It wasn't, you know, it's not surprise when he showed up. It's more like, I told you so, you know. And I told you he was coming. That's what God would say. It was not a secret. It wasn't something hidden. It was something that was announced all through the Old Testament, all through the prophets and of his coming. Nobody ever makes that claim. Listen, Buddha never was pre-announced, and Muhammad never was pre-announced, and even Moses, you know, in that respect, or Jeremiah or Ezekiel or Daniel or any of the Old Testament prophets. So in that respect, Jesus is unique. Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, is not a religious leader. He's not just he's not a Muhammad, and he is not a Buddha, and he is not a Confucius. He's not any of those. He's not a Moses, and he's not a Jeremiah, and he's not an Ezekiel. He was Emmanuel, God in the flesh, and he was announced over and over and over, down to where he was going to be born, what he was going to do when he started his ministry, how he was going to die. Are you with me? The way he was going to die, who was going to betray him, his own friend was going to turn against him. I mean, on and on and on and on. We have announcements and declarations and predictions concerning Jesus. Hallelujah. So we have good reason to believe in him, to trust in him. And it just makes good sense when someone comes along and says, I'm God, and comes along and says that without him, you're going to hell, and if you don't eat my body and drink my blood, you'll die. It just makes good sense and logic that we should have, he should have some credentials, something that we could look at to see if this is the guy. And Jesus is the guy. He is the guy, okay? And we know that because we've got all kinds of scripture and all kinds of evidence and all kinds of pronouncements before that he fulfilled. Things that he couldn't have fulfilled on his own. You can say, well, he just read about that stuff and he just did what he could to fulfill it. Well, how do you choose where you're going to be born? That's a pretty good one. I think I'll just fulfill that prophecy and be born in Bethlehem of Judea, like Micah 5:2 says. Hello. You see how crazy that gets. I mean, you know, you start going through some of the prophecies, there's no way he could have fulfilled them on his own. It had to be supernatural. It had to be God that ordained that. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, you know, anybody can jump up and say, hey, I'm God. I'm this is the will of God. This is what you should do, and thus saith the Lord. But, you know, when Jesus came along, he had credentials. He pulled out his birth certificate. He pulled out his, you know, concealed handgun license, you know, and I guess he didn't have that. But anyway, but he could, you know, he said, look, this is done. Matthew is filled. The book of Matthew is filled with this phrase, this term. This was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophet. And then it would be Isaiah or Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He would say, Jesus did this, or Jesus was born here, and Jesus went here, and his parents took him to this place and that place. And then Herod came and killed all the babies, you know. But this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. This was done that it might be fulfilled. Well, I love that. In Jesus, see, things are fulfilled. In Jesus, things are manifested and confirmed. In Jesus, things are completed and become reality. He is not a shadow or a type or a symbol. He is the substance of the symbol and the type and the shadow. Are you with me? All the prophecies and all the feast and all the things the prophet said that the Messiah would do, he did. All the things they said about Messiah, he fulfilled them. That's why John says in John, the first chapter, it starts out, says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with him. Without him, the Word was not anything made that was made. And then it goes on the 14th verse and says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. See, when Jesus came, he was the Word. He was the prophecy of Genesis, the prophecy of Isaiah, the prophecy of Jeremiah. He was those words made flesh. They were just declarations. They were just announcements. They were just previews. They were trailers of a movie that hadn't been played yet. But when Jesus came, he fulfilled them. He was the consummation of the ages. Hallelujah. In him, everything met. All those promises met. And when Christmas comes around, we're reminded that God keeps his promises. That God's word happens just like God says it does. And every Christmas, you know, we ought to be reminded, we ought to hear from heaven in the back of our mind or heart or spirit, you know, this echo of, I told you so. I told you so. God said it was going to happen, and it did. And you know, it makes me want to believe the rest of his promises. It makes me face it with more confidence and courage and faith. You know, when I have a need in my life and I come to God, He makes a promise. God keeps His promises. I'm reminded of that every Christmas. Hallelujah. God keeps His word. He is a God of His word. No matter how impossible and seemingly how long, He'll always do what He says. See, we're celebrating this time of year the birth of Jesus Christ, obviously. But we're here talking about this, our Savior Jesus, born of a virgin, Virgin Mary. We look back 2,000 years to something that people for 4,000 years look forward to. Wow. Isn't that something? For 4,000 years they waited for His coming. They were told that it would happen in many different ways and many different forms and many different prophets and prophecies that it would happen. And they look forward to His coming. We look back to the fact that He came. Oh, wow. Man, to me, that's just even more awesome. You know, that it's already, I'd rather look back to the fact that He came than still looking forward to Him coming. Now, I know He's coming, but I mean coming to save us. He came to save us 2,000 years ago. He came to save us from our sins. Everybody say, from our sins. I like that because he paid the price for our sin, the sin of Adam, but He came to save us from our sins. Not just the consequence of our sins, but our sins. I like that. You know, well, hey, I don't have to pay the price for my sins anymore. Well, yeah, but He actually came to save you from your sins. You don't have to keep sinning. You don't have to keep doing that sin. You don't have to keep hating. You don't have to keep, hello, are you with me? Whatever it is you do, you know, that's wrong. He came to save you from your sins. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, Matthew 1:18 says. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Man, I love that. That's good, isn't it? He saved me from hatred. He saved me from anger. He saved me from unforgiveness. He saved me from drugs. He saved me from lust. He saved me from it. Not just the consequences of it. He saved me from my sins. Woo! Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. That's good preaching. Oh, amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Woo! Yes. Don't hang up now. Preach it. I'm just amening myself here. Y'all just, okay. Turn to Galatians 4 chapter. We're going to go over a few verses here. We're going to spend a lot of time, but I do want to keep you at a decent amount of time so you don't get spoiled. Galatians 4, and then this is Paul talking about maturing, becoming a son, a daughter of God, and not being just a servant and slave, but actually being an heir of the covenant of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad we're inheritors of the saints in light, with the saints in light, that we're part of the family of God. We're not outside servants and slaves. We're actually part of the kingdom. Hallelujah. That our Father is just that. He's our Father. He's not our God. He is our God, but He's our God and Father. We're related by birth. We've been born again. Hallelujah. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. We're born of God. See, you know, I quoted John in the first chapter, but the first 12th verse says, to as many as received Him, Jesus, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, who were born not of the will of flesh nor the will of man, but of God, even to those that believe on His name. And that's us. We are born of God. We've been born again. Love it. Amen. I didn't just decide to be good one day. I didn't just turn over a leaf. That leaf was just as bad on the other side as it was on the side that was up. I needed a new leaf on life. That's a play on words, but anyway. I needed a brand new leaf. I didn't need to turn one over. I needed to get saved, and I did, and you did, and we did, if we accepted Jesus. And now we're part of the family. Hallelujah. Jesus came to restore us, to make us part of the family again. That's why He came. He's not just that little babe in a manger. I know we celebrate that, and that had to happen, and it was part of the process, and rightly so. We thank God for His birth. But often, I think, if we're not careful, we see Jesus as that little baby, and He's more than just that little baby. Sometimes we make the mistake of seeing Him on the cross, but you know what? He's not on that cross. He's not in that manger. Aren't you glad? Sometimes we see Him just as a sinless man. He was sinless. He didn't sin. No question about that. Great teacher. No question. Great teacher. Prophet. Prophesied. Yes, He did. Healed the sick. Raised the dead. Cast out devils. All those things. He did all that. And he was born, just like the Bible says, of a virgin, Mary, 2,000 years ago in that manger. But that was the creator in that crib, and that was the master in that manger. And what we need to see is not just a babe in a manger, not just a sinless man, not just a good teacher, not just someone hanging on a cross, not just someone that went to the tomb. We need to see an empty tomb. And we need to see someone, a warrior, a conqueror, who beat hell, death, and the grave, and the devil at his own game, and arose victorious as a warrior and a king and a conqueror. King of kings and Lord of lords. That's who we're serving today. Not just a little babe in a manger, although he was that, but he was so much more than that. What a master plan. Man, really, here where Paul's talking about us becoming mature, not just servants and not just children under discipline, but mature men, sons, daughters of God. It's amazing that God's master plan was to take a baby and make a man out of us. Or make a woman out of us, as it were. To take something seemingly weak and destroy the devil, just absolutely wipe him out at his own game. This is his master plan. It often amazes me when I think about that, the strategy, the war room. You know, we're talking about how to take the world back over, how to take over, you know, all the troops of hell and the cohorts of the devil and all the fallen angels and the way the world is, and we're going to take it back over. We're in heaven in a war room, and God says, I got a great idea. I'm going to send a baby down there. In fact, I'll become a baby. What? That's your plan? You're going to become a baby and take the world back over? That's exactly what he did. See, the foolishness of God's wiser than men. I mean, it just blows me away. And then I tell you what, he's going to live and die. Whoa, wait a minute. God, I think we need to talk about this. You're going to take the world over, and first you're going to become a baby, and then you're going to die? I'm losing it here somewhere. I'm not getting the connection here. Hello. But did you know that through death he overcame death? Hebrews 2:14 tells us that. It says that he came through death, overcame death, that we, who all of our lifetime were afraid of death, would be delivered from death. Through fear, we're in bondage through fear. But through death, he delivered death. And really, when you think about it, that's probably the greatest strategy you can come up with. When you have an enemy that has a one-shot deal, where he's got something that's his power punch, he's always going to do the same thing, or he always hits you from the same side, or he always comes on your right flank or whatever if it's an army. He always seems to do that. That's his strongest point. Same way in football. He's always going to throw that receiver. Let's go cover that receiver. Are you with me? Well, the devil's biggest power besides deception was death. That was his domain. Death's not from God. So God himself, through death, overcame death. He took the devil's greatest weapon, his greatest strategy, and he went ahead and let him do what he knew he would do, kill Jesus. Hello. But all that did was cause Jesus to come back, because he killed him, and he took our sin on him and everybody else's sin on him. And when he buried him, he thought he buried him, but he just planted him. And what you plant comes back up. Jesus said that over and over, except a seed die. I mean, if the devil had been listening to Jesus, he'd never killed him. But he didn't get anything Jesus said. Had the prince of this world known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But aren't you glad God's smarter than we are? And it wasn't a secret. That's what gets me. It was all there. It's all in the Scripture. It was there for anybody to read. Everything he did was prophesied, just like he said, and he went and did everything he said he's going to do. And the devil was so evil and so corrupt, he could not understand the Bible. That speaks volumes to all of us. The more you sin, the less you understand. The more you live right before God, the more you understand. Amen? Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Galatians 4. Y'all calm down. Let me finish this message. Galatians 4. Notice what it says here in the first verse. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all. And he's talking about a servant in the house, over teaching and guiding and ruling a child. Although the child's the heir, the servant's really over the child because he hadn't matured yet. He hasn't become a full son yet. But he's under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Everybody say time appointed. Okay, and everybody say by the father. Okay, that's interesting too, because God appoints times and seasons. Even so, we, when we were children, were children. Everybody say were. Okay, were children, we were in bondage, were in bondage. Say that, were. Okay, we were. Now, what I am is not what I were. Got that? Okay. Or what I correctly, I'd be saying, what I am is not what I was. Okay, I was. Okay. Singular. All right. But, I love this. Fourth verse. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Wow. See, I don't think we really think about that, but what Christmas means is full sonship. What Christmas means is I'm no longer a slave or a servant. I'm no longer under the gun. I'm no longer in bondage. Actually, I've been completed in him. And that's why Jesus came. When the fullness of time was come. Everybody say fullness of time. Now, that's interesting because, see, all this had to be laid out. And prophet after prophet began to prophesy Jesus would come, be born of a virgin. Isaiah said that. Micah 5:2 said he'd be, you know, born in Bethlehem. And Genesis talks about him bruising the head of the serpent and so on and so forth. Prophecy after prophecy came. And when they all came together and the fullness of time come, looking down through the corridors of time, God said, okay, it's time. And Jesus came and was born of a virgin, just like Isaiah prophesied, the 7th chapter, 14th verse of Isaiah. And what he did, he came with this intent and purpose, to redeem us. He came to save us. He came, are you with me? To complete us, because we will never be complete without Jesus. We'll always be incomplete. You know, everybody in hell is incomplete. There's no whole person in hell. And there's no incomplete person in heaven. Everybody in heaven has been completed and made whole. Everybody in hell is unfinished, incomplete, untouched by the hand of God. Everybody in heaven has been touched by God and been finished and completed and made whole, and we are complete in him. Because Jesus makes people whole. And without him, we're not whole. Isn't that right? So Christmas means we've been made whole. Christmas means we're redeemed. Christmas means that we got full rights now. Hallelujah, somebody. Christmas means the devil doesn't run my life anymore. The devil doesn't have power over me anymore. Praise God, I have power over him in Jesus' name. I am now a child of the living God, full sonship rights, full heir, just like I inherited the will. It's all mine now, hallelujah. Because this is what Jesus came to do in the fullness of time. He came to redeem them, oh my, that were under the law. You and I were under the law. Everybody say under the law. Now, just terrible be under something, but we were under it. Praise God, we're over it now. Now, you need to get over it. Amen. You and I need to get over it. Hallelujah. Hey, if you're writing notes, you don't have to turn to all these, but here's Paul talking about the coming of the Lord and his purpose. Everybody say Christmas. Okay. Don't forget, this is what it's all about. I mean, with the gifts and the trees and the lights and all those things, and we celebrate too and get together. It was about God redeeming us. It was about God saving us and completing us and making us whole. And you know, I have hope now, hallelujah. We have a Savior now. We can get our prayers answered now. We have authority with God, from God. We have authority now. It's Christmas. I can beat the devil now. It's Christmas. I can win. I can be healed. I can have my prayers answered. Hallelujah. It's Christmas. That's what it means. It means I've been made whole, completed, fulfilled. If you write notes in, obviously, Genesis 3:15, remember when Adam sinned and he blamed the woman and the woman blamed the snake and the snake, anybody left to blame? It says here, in Genesis 3:15 that God prophesied, and he said the seed of the woman would bruise the seed, the head of the serpent, and he would bruise the foot, you know, of the child. Now, I thought that was significant because really the woman has no seed. Are you out there? So when he said the seed of the woman, that's pretty supernatural right there. First of all, the woman doesn't have a seed. But when the fullness of time came, God brought forth his son made of a woman, not made of a man. Y'all out there? Made of a woman, not of a man. Because his daddy was God, not Adam. Right? And so his seed, the seed of sin, the seed that was corrupted through Adam because of his sin, all mankind is in sin because of Adam. When Adam sinned, death came into the world and all have sinned in Adam. That never got to Jesus because Jesus wasn't the seed of Adam. Jesus was the seed of God, of the woman. Woo, man, I love that. And it was very specific, and it had to be strange to have read something like that and for the prophet to even have written it down that way, because that's just not the way our minds work, nor the Jewish mind. The seed of the woman. Are you kidding me? That doesn't even make sense. Biologically, it doesn't make sense. It didn't make sense historically or theologically, and yet that's what it was recorded, and that's exactly what came to pass. I love that. See, we read that, we just pass on, don't think about how unique that is and how that stands out when you read that. If you're real honest and objective and look at it, that is a strange way to say it. The seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. No such thing, seed of a woman. And here's Paul reiterating that when the fullest time God sent forth his son, made of a woman, not a man. So Jesus comes along and he's straight from heaven. He wasn't born through man, he was born through a woman. And Jesus, the man part of Jesus, came through a woman. The man part of him. Jesus was the Word made flesh. See, and this is no reflection on Catholics, God bless Catholics. But Jesus, we say Mary, Mother of God. Mary wasn't the mother of God. Mary was the mother of Jesus, the man. God has no mother. Mary didn't give birth to God. God was already alive. God became a man. And Mary gave birth to the man. I mean, God didn't all of a sudden have a beginning and was born 2,000 years ago. No, God became a man, and that union, that man, God-man, Jesus Christ was born, and Jesus had a beginning, but not God the Father. Jesus the Son had a beginning, and his mother was Mary, but his daddy is God. Well, he was God. Woo. Y'all get that? Don't go blast a Catholic with that. God bless Catholics. That's not what I said that for. I wasn't trying to make an argument. I was just trying to make a point here that what Jesus did, he did as a man, and he lived his life as a man, as a sinless, holy man. He went to the cross as a man, and he paid the price for you and I as a man. And he shed his blood as a man, the Lamb of God, took away the sin of the world, because that was the requirement of the law, that a male without spot, without blemish, die for your sins and mine, and he was the male that died. And God didn't die. God can't die. Jesus died. And Jesus rose again. Oh, come on, somebody. And so Jesus actually, in one sense, when you think about it, Jesus died on the cross and he was born again. And he was the first born again man. The first born among many brethren. That's what the scripture says. Wow. That's good preaching. Hallelujah, somebody. Because man got us in this mess, and God's going to cause man to get us out of this mess. But there's a dilemma here. Every man born in sin, so someone's going to have to be born from heaven. Because slaves don't set slaves free. We're going to have a free man set us, all us slaves free. Well, how are you ever going to have a free man? Because every man born down here is born in sin because of Adam. Well, all of a sudden, God himself becomes a man born from heaven, hallelujah, through a woman, not a man. Now, you say, well, that's just so deep and so technical. Yeah, and that's what Christmas is about. Are you out there? I mean, there's the simple little story that we kind of miss the true meaning of it all. But the meaning of it all is real simple, is simple and deep at the same time. God wanted to save us. That's why he sent Jesus. And that's the only way he could do it is through him becoming a man. He couldn't save us through another man born in sin. He had to come down here without sin to save us, but he had to become a man to do it because God couldn't pay for price for our sin. It took a man to pay the price for our sin, and Jesus is that man. Hallelujah. And then see, he was of the woman, not of the man. Seed of the woman. Oh, I love it. Love it. And you say, well, where'd you get all that? I just read it to you. It's in the Bible. That's the whole point. That's why it's in here. So we wouldn't be confused about this, see? But it's amazing how confused we get. So it was prophesied in Genesis, and of course Isaiah said the same thing, and I've quoted it if you write notes, Isaiah 7:14. He says, "The virgin, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a child." What? A virgin? How does a virgin have a child? What is that? Am I the only one that goes into falsetto over these things? Well, it fits perfectly. It fits perfectly what he said over in Genesis 3:15 about that seed of that woman. It fits perfectly with what Paul said, born of a woman. It fits perfectly. Of course a woman had to give birth to Jesus. He couldn't be born through a man. He couldn't have man's sin in him. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. So you start taking those scriptures and they start making sense. Well, of course, that's exactly what he means. He had to be born of a virgin. He had to be the seed of a woman. He had to be born of a woman to be born free and without sin. And make no mistake about it, Jesus had no sin. Are you with me? He was sinless. And yet in Adam, the Bible says all die. Romans 5th chapter tells us very plainly about Adam and how he brought death into the world, and through sin came death. And by one man's offense or sin, Adam, all have died. But then he says, by one man came the resurrection of the dead. I love that. And that one man is Jesus. See, one man got us in this mess, and one man got us out of this mess. One man, Adam, got us in the mess. One man, Jesus, got us out of the mess. In Adam, all die. In Christ, all are made alive. That's why you have to be born again, because you have to be in Christ to go to heaven. You can't be good enough to go to heaven because you're still in Adam. You're still lost. You're still got that sin in you. It's not the sins, plural, that you commit. It's the sin you have in you from Adam. The sin. What did John say when he saw Jesus? He said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin, singular, of the world." Wow. What Jesus did is take away the sin of Adam that was in every man and every woman. We have all sinned and become short of the glory of God just by matter of birth. Our problem in life is not what we do per se. Our problem in life is who we are. We're lost without Jesus. And we could start all the charitable organizations, and we could do all the good things in the world and try to live the rest of our life doing good things. But if we never accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, we're still lost, 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 lost. We're still in Adam, and in Adam all die. We got to be in Christ. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? So that's why Jesus had to come, because we were a doomed race. That's what Christmas is about. It's about a new creation. Christmas is about a new birth. Christmas is about a new family. Christmas is about salvation and redemption and being completed and made whole and all that. And all that had to take place through Jesus. If he didn't come, we'd still be in the mess we're in. We didn't need a Moses. We didn't need a Jeremiah. We didn't need a Muhammad. We didn't need a Buddha. We didn't need a Confucius to confuse us. We didn't need a better teacher. We didn't need a better guide. We didn't need a better moral example, and Jesus was all that. We didn't need a better set of doctrines and so on and so forth, a guide to guide us through life, a teacher to teach us through school. No, we didn't need a Muhammad. We didn't need a Buddha. We didn't need a Confucius. We didn't need a teacher and a guide. We needed a Savior to save us from our sins. Buddha's not a Savior. Muhammad's not a Savior. Moses wasn't a Savior. Jesus is a Savior. Hallelujah. Thank God he came to save us. He came that we might be born again. Oh my, and he was prophesied to come. And he's the only one that could do it. Man. Hey, you need to follow Jesus' teaching. You need to follow his example. But if you just follow his teaching, his example, and you never accept him as Lord and Savior, you will go to hell. You're not going to go to heaven by just following his example. You're not going to go to heaven by just listening to his teaching. At some point in your life, you're going to have to receive him into your life. You're going to have to be born again. You're going to have to be in Christ. Because in Adam all die. In Christ all of your life. This sinless one, this one born from heaven. Emmanuel, God with us. I love it. Every Christmas we're reminded of it. The miracle, the magnificent miracle of Christmas. How Jesus came through a virgin without a man. Supernaturally, the Holy Ghost overshadowed her, and that thing that was born in her was of the Holy Ghost and would be called the Son of God, is what the Bible says. I love it. Angels sang at his birth. Filled the hills and the valleys with his birth, with the singing and rejoicing. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men, or to men of goodwill. Peace has come. Oh, God has made peace with us. Hallelujah. I don't have to go to hell. Whew. I don't have to live in fear of hell. I don't have to live in fear of dying. You say, well, where do you get that? Christmas. Christmas. Every Christmas. Every Christmas I'm reminded of it. I gather around the tree and look at the star on the, you know, the angel or the star on top of the tree, and look at Happy Birthday Jesus on the wall, which we got a banner that says Happy Birthday Jesus. I'm reminded, hallelujah, that I am saved, hallelujah. I do not have to go to hell. I'm going to live forever. I've been made whole. I've been made complete in him. I don't have to put up with the devil. Thank God this life is not all there is. If in this life alone we have hope, we're of all creatures most miserable. But we don't have hope in this life. We've got hope in him. Amen. The one born of a virgin, the one born of a woman, the one born of the seed of the woman, hallelujah, prophesied to come. How unique is that? My goodness. These books written thousands of years ago, for 4,000 years, told that he would come. He's coming. He's coming. You know, Numbers 24:17, if you're writing notes, Numbers 24:17 tells us that a star would rise out of Jacob. I love that. And a scepter would rise, a ruler would rise, and he'd rule forever and ever. That's what the wise men followed. They followed a star. They had a scripture on that, see. These wise men, these magi, as they called them, they were just following scripture. They actually told Herod, you know, they informed him that a king was coming. Here they were, the people of God, Herod and all the Jews, and these wise men from the east knew more about it than they did. And they followed that star right to the place where he was. That's supernatural. I love that. But, you know, it was in scripture. They just pulled out the map. Hey, if you want to get somewhere in Dallas and you don't have Brenda with you, you need a map. Well, I mean, if it's a store or something, you know, she knows where all the stores are. Okay. Or you want to know where the Starbucks are, I can tell you where they are. But anyway, you need a map. And you know what? You need to trust in it. You need to follow it because somebody has been there. Somebody knows what they're talking about, see? Well, God had all this written, and it was there for anybody to read. And if anybody wanted to follow it, they could get to the destination. Jesus was no surprise. As I said earlier, surprise, surprise. No, he was not a surprise. He was, I told you so, is who he was. He was just like I said it would be. That's who he was. He came right in the nick of time. He came in the fullness of time, just like God said. And had all these credentials. If you write notes, Micah 5:2, I've quoted that already, where he talked about where he'd be born. He said, thou, O Bethlehem, are not least among the princes, although you are least among the princes of Judah, out of you shall come a ruler, a governor, that shall rule my people Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old and everlasting. In other words, ancient of days. I love that. He is the Ancient of Days. God wasn't born 2,000 years ago. Jesus was. As God, he always existed. He became Jesus Christ as we know it 2,000 years ago. I know that's hard for our pea brain to get sometimes, but Jesus never really had a beginning as God. He had a beginning as a man. That's who we call Jesus. But he always existed before as the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So what was born 2,000 years ago on that Christmas day, whenever that day was, what was born at that point was actual real person Jesus, but he was also God who had always existed. He was the Ancient of Days, as Micah 5:2 talks about, who's going forth had been from everlasting to everlasting. Hallelujah. So Mary didn't give birth to God. She gave birth to that man, Jesus. He was a God-man. Never had been. Nothing like that ever. Always existed. I love that. You know, Matthew gives us the account of Jesus' birth through Joseph. Mark doesn't give us an account of his birth. He just comes right out as a servant. He just casting out devils in the first chapter. That's what it says. And Luke gives us the account of Jesus' birth through Mary, her lineage, as it were. But John comes along and he gives us the account of Jesus' birth as God. And that kind of heritage or that kind of lineage or that kind of line goes like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In other words, he didn't have a beginning. He always was. So he always existed as God, but he had a beginning as a man. That's what we're celebrating. The birth of this man, this Savior. Hallelujah. Woo. You and I have a Savior. Amen. And he was prophesied to come. Well, the first Christmas didn't come unannounced. It was foretold and prophesied and proclaimed by God, men, and angels. I love that. Jesus is the fulfillment of Scripture. He is the promise kept. He is the Word made flesh. He's proof that God cannot lie. That's what Christmas is. And every Christmas we're reminded that God keeps his promises. And he performs his Word. Amen? So at this time of year when we get together, let's understand that God didn't forget us. No, he didn't forget. They waited 4,000 years, but he remembered. He loved, he cared, and he came to us on Christmas morning. And that's why God called him Emmanuel, God with us, because God showed up. God performed, you know, his Word and what he said he would do. He came down to us and became one of us, that we might actually become him, become one of him. And we're not going to be God, but we're going to be glorified. He didn't come to leave us where we are. You know, a little baby, when you start talking to a little baby, you goo-goo and gaga with them, but only for a temporary time. Then you start teaching them how to talk. And then when they grunt at the table for something, it gets to a point where that's no good anymore. They have to say what they want. Then they have to say please. And then as they get a little older, you talk more things, you know, you get more intense with them. Is you're bringing them up, you're bringing them up, you're bringing them up. You want them to get the point to where they can go out on their own, as it were, and be a witness themselves, be a help themselves to society, and be a part of the answer instead of part of the problem. That's what Jesus came to do. He didn't come down here to leave us where we are. He came down here to complete us, to redeem us, and to bring us up to where he is. And we're all going to rule and reign with him. Amen? But we couldn't before he came. It's just the law of the highest to the lowest. You know, you couldn't reach him. He's too high. But he reached down to you and brought you up. You couldn't touch him because he's just too untouchable. But he touched us. He came down and he touched us. One day, what happened is real simple. One day, I heard Terry Miles say this years ago. One day, heaven bent over, kissed the earth, and we got caught in the middle of the smack. Amen? Merry Christmas. That's what Christmas is about.